We're going to go on now to the story hour. And the story is about the honest thief. So sit back, Kinderloch, and listen and enjoy. Once upon a time, there lived in a small Polish town a poor Jew. Let's call him Schlemiel, because everything he tried to do to earn a living for his wife and children seemed to go wrong. The townspeople knew him as an honest and God-fearing man, but nobody wanted to give him a job. Could you blame them? If he helped out at a fruit pushcart in the marketplace, he would inevitably upset the apple cart and turn over the pushcart. If he made milk deliveries, he would somehow spill the milk. No matter what he tried, everything went wrong. People said, "Oy, oy, oy, Schlemiel was born under an unlucky star." Anyway, one day, Schlemiel heard that a saintly rabbi had come to town and that he was a miracle worker. Schlemiel decided to go to him and ask him for advice and for a blessing. Schlemiel poured out his story of all his problems and all his heartache to the saintly rabbi. After a moment of deep thought, the rabbi said to him, "You are a good, honest, and God-fearing man, Schlemiel. I see that there is a great wealth in store for you." "Really?" Schlemiel called out, and his face lit up. "What am I to do?" "That I cannot tell you, Schlemiel," the rabbi replied. "Poor me. I knew something would go wrong again," Schlemiel said, as he left the rabbi with little hope and comfort. It was no use going back home, for he could not bear to see the starving faces of his children, and, of course, the accusing look of his wife. He went to shul to recite the holy tilim, and stayed for Midrash and Maariv. It was quite dark when he came out of shul. He was the last one to leave. There was no hurry. He took a detour through the marketplace, hoping to find the children asleep when he came home. The marketplace was deserted. All the stores were locked and barred. Suddenly, he noticed that the padlock on one of the stores was hanging loosely. Oy, oy, oy. The shopkeeper must have failed to lock it up properly. A terrible thought flashed through Schlemiel's mind. "Suppose I take a look inside?" But the next moment another voice inside him said, "Oh, thou shalt not steal." And the first voice came back saying, "It's a matter of life. Your children must not starve to death. You will not steal. Just borrow." Schlemiel stood there quite a while, listening to the two voices arguing within him. Finally, he could not resist the temptation. He removed the padlock and cautiously entered the shop. It was a hardware store, and he was disappointed. Had it been a grocery, he would have taken some food for his children. But what's the good of nails and things of that sort? He was about to leave when he glanced on the cash register. As luck would have it, it was open too, and full of money. Schlemiel's heart pounded, and his hands shook as he carefully counted out for himself 18 groschen, 18 pennies. That should be enough for a loaf of bread, he thought, and he pocketed the 18 groschen. Then he made his way out, noting as he left that it was Velvel's hardware store. Coming home, he found everybody asleep. He carefully made a note on a piece of paper that he owed Velvel 18 groschen. Nevertheless, he felt very sad and contrite that he had committed the terrible crime. The following day was a real yuntif in Schlemiel's home. Father had brought home a loaf of bread with him that morning on the way from shul. Oh, the kids had something to eat for breakfast and lunch. But when evening came, they were hungry again. Schlemiel had once again wandered around the whole day looking for a job, but without success. Again, he was the last man to leave the shul. And as on the previous night, he made a roundabout walk home through the deserted marketplace. Once again, he noticed a padlock hanging loosely on a store's door. This time, Schlemiel did not listen to the inner two voices very long. He entered the store and found a heap of cash on the counter, which the storekeeper evidently had forgotten to take with him. Again, Schlemiel carefully counted out 18 groschen, 18 pennies, and pocketed the money, noting as he left that it was Getzel's Peace Goods store. Coming home, he jotted down Getzel's name on the note and went to bed with a heavy heart. The following morning, Schlemiel heard a commotion in the shul. Getzel was excitedly telling everybody the miracle that had happened to him. A thief had entered the store the night before and took nothing but 18 groschen, leaving the rest of the cash and the goods intact. What an unlikely story. A bubemeise, the people scoffed. But they were really astonished when Velvel, the hardware man, told them that that was exactly what happened to him a night earlier. To cut a long story short, there was hardly a day without excitement in the little town. A strange thief, an honest thief, was on the prowl. He took no more and no less than 18 groschen. The shopkeepers took no chances. They engaged a special watchman to guard the marketplace, but it was of no avail. The honest thief somehow managed to escape the watchman and get away with his nightly 18 groschen. The sensational news about the strange burglar reached the sheriff. He was curious to catch the thief. You know what he did? He disguised himself as a beggar and went out at night to the marketplace, pretending that he was dead drunk. Schlemiel, confident of his success, hardly noticed him. Sure enough, the beggar caught him red-handed. "I'll take you to the sheriff at once," the beggar threatened, grabbing hold of Schlemiel's arm. Schlemiel began to plead with him. "Oh, let me go, please. I'm no thief. See, I only borrowed 18 groschen from my starving kids." "I will let you go on one condition. I heard that the sheriff received a large sum of money the other day. He got this as an inheritance from an uncle who had no children. It is in a box under his bed in his bedroom. You are a clever, lucky thief. If you will get me that box, we will share the money, and I'll let you go." Schlemiel shuddered. No, I cannot do such a thing. I am not a thief, nor the son of a thief. I never borrowed more than 18 groschen for a loaf of bread. Please, let me go." Schlemiel's begging fell on deaf ears. The beggar dragged him to the sheriff's house, pointed to a half-open window, and gave him instructions how to get into the kitchen through that window, and from there into the bedroom. There was no way out for Schlemiel. He finally said to the beggar, "I'll get you that box, but it's all yours. I have nothing to do with it." Trembling with fright, Schlemiel disappeared through the window. A few moments later, he reappeared, empty-handed. "Oy, thank God I was spared this crime," he whispered to the beggar. "What happened? Tell me." "Well, when I got into the kitchen, I heard two voices coming from an adjoining room. One said, 'I'll tell you, Ivan, no one knows about the boss's inheritance. Tomorrow when you serve tea to your master, put in this poison powder. We will then share the money and be rich.'" Ha, 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 ha! Schlemiel didn't see in the dark how the beggar's face became pale when he heard these words, and he continued, "With those people around, I couldn't do anything and couldn't go any further, and came back. But we must warn the sheriff of the attempt on his life. How can we do it?" "Don't worry, you go home. I'll find a way of warning the sheriff. Leave it to me," the disguised sheriff said. And Schlemiel, very much relieved, quickly disappeared. The following morning, as Schlemiel was carefully distributing slices of bread to his family, a policeman came and ordered Schlemiel to come with him to the sheriff. Schlemiel nearly died of fright. His knees shaking and barely able to stand on his feet, Schlemiel appeared before the sheriff, expecting the worst. To his great amazement, the sheriff welcomed him in a friendly manner, shook his hand, and patted him on the shoulder. Schlemiel, you saved my life, and I want to thank you, the sheriff said. I don't understand, Schlemiel stuttered. What do you mean? The sheriff told him that the beggar who had caught him the night before and ordered him to the sheriff's house was none other than he, the sheriff himself. You should have seen Ivan's face this morning when he brought me my tea and I told him to drink it himself. Well, Ivan will get what he deserves, and now I want to see that you get what you deserve. You are God's messenger to save my life as well as my fortune. I want to share my fortune with you. That is the least I can do. Schlemiel at first refused to take a reward for what was his duty to do in any case. But once again he was overruled, and he walked out of the sheriff's house with half of the money which was in that box. Quite a fortune. Now, as Schlemiel was walking home a rich man, he realized why the saintly rabbi did not want to tell him how and where he would find his good fortune, and that he would earn it by resisting temptation night after night. The first thing Schlemiel did was to repay all those 18 groschen debts which he had so reluctantly made. Then he gave away 1/10 of the remainder for the poor and the needy in town. With the rest, he made good business, and from then on, everything seemed to go just right. Kinderlach, I do hope you enjoyed the story and got the message how we have to be careful and how we always have to remember that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam repays all those who are good and honest.